Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to look at some verses along the lines of what we spoke last night with the Lord's help. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Children of Israel are finishing their 40 years. He tells us down, I believe in verse 4, that it was these 40 years. They're winding out their journey. They're about to cross over Jordan. They're about to enter into that land which was promised to them. And the Lord gave them instruction concerning two things. One, what it was going to take for them to inhabit that land. But more so, he instructs them on what they've been through to get to that land. And he reveals himself to them, and he says in verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee in the wilderness these 40 years. So they're backwards, but these 40 years rather in the wilderness. They're finishing their journey, and the Lord is going to remind them how he brought them through the wilderness. They're about to cross into a land that God has prepared for them. It's a promise to Abraham. And they are the seed of Abraham, numbering the stars of heaven, are about to make a great crossing into a land which God has sworn to give to them. But in that 40 years, many of them, if not most of them, have died. In that 40 years, God has slain many of them because of their unbelief. They saw the miracles of God, and they saw the work of God. They saw a rock gush forth water. They saw manna fall from heaven. They saw wind blow quail in from the sea, where men were vomited out of their nostrils. There was so much meat, and they were in the wilderness. And he said this, he led these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. God was going to humble them, lest their heart be lifted up. He was going to prove them, lest they had an evil heart of unbelief. God was going to show to them by their wandering, indeed they were God's children. Yet, an old harlot woman sitting in Jericho hears of the mighty miracles, here's what was done at the Red Sea, here's what was done to the kings, and at the word of the Lord, she believed God. Yet they saw the miracles and still would not believe. They've witnessed all those things that you and I can only read about. They saw it with their eyes, yet their hearts were hardened against God. God led them in that way. They were in the wilderness because God brought them to the wilderness. They were in the wilderness because God was going to, A, humble them. And by the way, that's a whole other message for those of us that are in the wilderness. But God also is going to prove them. God is going to let them know, yes, you're my children. And so he goes on, he says this, to know what was in thine heart. Wandering in the wilderness will prove your heart. Time will prove your heart. You can't be a hypocrite forever. See, I want to see what was in your heart. I believe more so God wanted to reveal what was in their heart. God knew their hearts. God wants to show what they are and let them see what they are, whether thou wouldest keep my commandments or no. Is it in your heart to obey me? Is it in your heart to follow me? What was one of the main things that they followed? Their belly. We had onions, we had leeks, we had garlic down in Egypt land. We had cucumbers in Egypt land. And out here, you let us out here in this wilderness to die? You let us out here to starve? They're worried about filling their own bellies, the lust of their belly. Not concerned about obeying God. So God's going to prove them. In verse 3 it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Would you be okay with that? That God would suffer thee to hunger? I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I believe the reason for that is the righteous don't beg because they believe that they're hungry. God has suffered them to hunger. You better believe that the saints of God throughout the years have suffered from hunger because God suffered them to hunger. Why would they be burnt at the stake? Because God suffered them to be burned. Why would they freeze to death in the cold winters with no shelter? Because God suffered them to freeze to death for his glory and for his name. You read of those old saints that would go to the stake and yet refuse to deny the name of Christ. You'd read of them going on Lake Geneva where the Protestants would drag them out in the lake, cut holes in the ice, and they'd stand on the brink of that hole and tell them to denounce their baptism that was not paedo baptism, and they refused to and said, no, my only hope is Jesus Christ. They'd push them into the lake, icy waters of the lake, where they'd freeze to death. In the spring, they'd go fish the bodies out, burn them. God certainly wouldn't let that happen to us. God certainly wouldn't do that to me. I'm his child. He said if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then we'd hear from heaven. God would heal our land. But if we won't humble ourselves, God may have to humble us. If we won't prove God, God may have to prove us. But we don't want to hear those things. We're Americans. We have the right to work. Bear with me on this. I have the Bill of Rights. If God suffers you to have the Bill of Rights, you will. I've preached in a country that had no rights. I've preached with preachers who have been locked up for preaching the gospel. I've been in services where the pastors come to me and he said, brother, please, please do not say anything about the communists. And I said, well, brother, normally I don't preach against communism. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking this is not 1957. But he was scared to death that I was going to get up and preach against it. Why? Because the communists were in the trees around the meeting listening to the preaching with AKs. That's not an exaggeration or some silly tale. It's reality. That's the fear that they live under. That's the fear that they preach under. I preached for a preacher that the Dole Plantation came and took his church. You know what he got a reward for it? Nothing. Because the corrupt government took his church. I have rights. I have rights. They can't take my church. How could God let them take my church? Well, pretty sure it's not our church.
Mom.
Pretty sure it's his. We are coddled in America.
Right.
We are spoiled in America. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you were there, some of you were not. We had a little trouble this morning over bacon. This is not a third world problem. Just want to clarify that. We had some fresh, but then those silly blacks showed up. That's the black girls, and they're my non-nieces showed up, and we had a dilemma. So we had to heat up leftover bacon. Can you imagine the awfulness? Some people have fresh bacon. Others have leftover bacon. Now, we can chuckle, but I've seen people that refuse to eat leftovers. I've seen people who refuse to put their spoon in a dish that's been reheated. We as Americans throw away copious amounts of food, yet we're not thankful. We're not grateful. The same people that curse God would not bless God if God filled their belly every day as he's done for 1,000 years. They wouldn't bless his name. God's reminding his people, I suffered you to hunger. I wanted to prove you. I wanted to find out what you are. I wanted to find out what you're made of. Listen, you go through times of want. You know what it is? A lot of times it's God trying to prove you. What you do in times of want is who you really are, not in times of plenty.
That's right. Amen.
It's easy to give when you have. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to give when you don't have.
Yeah.
I said it's easy to give when you have. But when you are scraping the bottom of the barrel, make me a cake first. Then make one for yourself and your son. It's a pretty hard thing. Hey, lady. Hey, widow lady that can't fend for yourself. There's a drought. People are dying. You're going to feed your son and go home and die. So make me a cake first. Feed me first. Obey God first. Then feed you and your son. You know, she said by the end of the chapter, truly, thou art a man of God. Thou art a man of God. I've seen the miracle of God. What would have happened to her son had she not believed? Well, there wouldn't have been a prophet there. There wouldn't have been a prophet there to save her son's life. Because she believed God, God spared her son.
Amen.
Because she believed God when it counted, God spared her son's life when it counted. You see, a lot of people look so close-sighted and so nearsighted, they don't look towards the future. Most people live for today. It's the paycheck to paycheck mentality of people. What can I get today? What can I get today? I have money today. Let me go squander it today. I have $100 left over. Let me run up here to Seneca One Stop and sneak out back and hopefully nobody sees me. Maybe I'll get rich today. Maybe today will be the day. With no forward thought. That there's other people that have far greater needs than we do. He's proven them in the wilderness. I wasn't going to say all this. My outline says, smile and tell happy stories right here. There's a little kitten in a tree. And it meowed. And all the children petted it.
Aww.
Thank you. People like that so much better than preaching nowadays. That's so much more popular than preaching today. He said, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and led thee with manna. Or excuse me, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. How did Satan tempt Jesus Christ? Turn these stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That daily bread we spake of yesterday is what man needs. But yet they could not see that. But God's trying to get them to see this is what's going to sustain you as daily bread. You don't need bread for your belly. You need bread from heaven. You don't need bread from the oven every day. You need bread from God every day. And he's trying to teach the children of Israel this. He's trying to prove them with their hunger and prove them with their troubles and prove them as they go on this journey. But what do? They begin to curse. They begin to murmur. They begin to despise God. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And then he tells us this, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. What is he saying? Your raiment didn't get old. It never waxed old. It never grew worse. You know why God sustained their raiment? Neither thy foot swell these 40 years. What does that mean? You never had to change your shoes in 40 years. God took care of those things. God was their provision. God was their provider. Listen, I'm not being funny. Hey, listen, if Ricky's car breaks down tomorrow, I'll still shout the victory and rejoice. I testified at our home church and it weirded people out at the time, but I just got up and I told him, I said, hey, if Tim McVeigh could be as faithful as that old car has been faithful, I said, if Tim McVeigh would be as faithful as that car has been faithful, you'd find a man of God. And they all got weirded out and hid down the pews because that's weird to them. I said, but that old car was faithful. Are you listening? If it lasted December 31st, I'll have had it, or Ricky will have had it for 19 years. 485,000 miles on it. Lord only knows how many sets of tires have been put on that thing. Lord only knows how many sets of brakes. I can't even tell how many hundreds of gallons of oil have been poured through that thing. But listen, I've said for often, I don't have any trouble saying either. It was a miracle car. God put his hand on that car. You don't believe that, do you? That's because you were at the dealership when I got down underneath the dealer's desk and prayed and asked the Lord God of heaven to help me. And I told that Lord, I said, Lord, I'll use that car for your glory, whatever it takes. I'll use that car to bring glory and honor to your name, no matter what it takes. I didn't know what I was asking. See, you weren't there, so you don't believe that, but I believe it. I was there. That's a little small thing for God. I said, that's just a small thing for God. Because you've never asked for a small thing, you can't believe the big thing. You never trusted God for the little things, let alone something big. So the children of Israel, God's trying to prove them in the wilderness. God's trying to show them in the wilderness. God's trying to reveal himself to them in the wilderness. Their raiment never waxed old. Their shoes never swelled. Their feet never swelled. Their shoes fit. They continued on 40 years. I'm going to say this is partially funny, but don't laugh too much. But part of the reason is they didn't get their clothes made in China. Their shoes weren't made in Cambodia. Amen and amen. But they also weren't made in the U.S., just throwing that out there. People ask where we get our clothes, and I'll say anywhere we can. But the reality is, where do you get your clothes? Somewhere else. Amen. We just buy them here in the store. They've seen miracles that only God could do. God sustained them every day with manna from heaven, but they still couldn't believe God. They saw the working of God, and they saw the hand of God. They saw the deliverance of God. They saw the protection of God. They saw the safety of God, but they couldn't believe God. Thou shalt also consider it in thine heart. As in a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. That's why they suffered at times. That's why they were hurt at times. That's why they died at times. As the Lord God chastens them, that's how a man chastens his son. We don't like this chastening. Happy is the man whom God correcteth, and that's why people are so miserable. But they just can't see that. Their lives are miserable because God doesn't correct them, because they're not his. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. You're not going to get away with doing wrong. You're not going to get away with hardening your heart against God. God is not going to permit it without chastening. Yet so many are not chastened but name the name of Christ. They sing showers of blessing every service, but they don't understand that it rains on the just and the unjust. They find that they think they're special with God. They don't see that the blessings have fallen on America, on individuals, on people as a whole. And they believe that God's just doing it for them, but they don't see God's chastening hand. Let me say this. Look at verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. And let me just run a little typology here. A land of brooks of water. When the pilgrims went inland, they marveled at one thing. the most valuable commodity on the face of the earth. Water. They found brooks of clear, clean water. By 1620 in England, you had to go way up north to find a clear stream in England. The coast of the Netherlands, the Dutch on the coast, they couldn't hardly find clean water. But they came to America and they found brooks and they found streams, and you could just go out and find a bubbling brook and just a frothy stream, and it was clear and it was cold and it was fresh, and they marveled at the springs and they marveled at the streams. They marveled that water was so clean in America. It's the provision of God. And if you have water today, that's the provision of God, but we take it for granted. Go to the Philippines and go by the kilometer of water intake and watch 30 Filipino boys in their skivvies swimming in the water supply. You'll thank God for America. They tell you the Philippines, go, don't drink the water. And I understood that. It was real clear to me. I didn't have any problem with that when I went by the intake. I don't know what the intake. It says Calambra City Water Supply. There's about 30 Filipino boys swimming in there. You didn't have to worry about me cheating. We've taken it for granted. We don't take it serious. Water's a great commodity that God provides. Let me just go on. I'm going to get hung up here and be mad in a little bit. Of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. He's talking about that promised land. There were springs. There were pools. We saw the prophet by the brook. We see men by brooks. We see men by streams. We see springs. We see wells of water. We see wells that were dug and clear water came out of those wells. And all through the scripture, you'll see people meeting at the well and seeing others at the well and finding a wife at the well and finding Jesus Christ by the well. It's more than just a picture. It's more than a type. That well of water that springs up is Christ. That's a promise to them. They've been in the wilderness with no water. And God's miraculously given them water. And now, because of the promise of God, they can walk out their back door and find clear water to drink. Yet they still don't believe God. He said a land of wheat in verse 8, and barley, and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. I was reading years ago, I studied on honey in the Bible, just a quick study. Got into some things, probably a little too deep for me. I didn't fully understand those things. And Brother Donnie Harvey walked into that church in Tennessee and he preached on with honey on the rock, would I have satisfied thee? And talked about Jonathan tasting that honey. Some of you were there, and that enlightenment came from tasting that honey. And how God enlightened him with that honey out of the rock. And I remember reading how this place is in Israel. They said it's over 1,200 species of bees in the nation of Israel alone. It's one of those bee-laden, if you will, countries in the world. And they said there's places in cliffs and in clefts of the rock where literally the ground bees have gone so deep and so long that in the springtime the honey literally comes out of the rock and flows down upon the rock face. I've seen pictures online. You can go find them of honey oozing out of the rocks. That's the land that God had given them. With honey out of the rock, when I have satisfied thee, God gave them honey when they needed it. Yet they would not believe God. There was corn on every hand. There was barley on every hand. There was wheat on every hand. He said, the land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron. And out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Can I be honest with you? There is a typology. There is a picture there. I grew up poor. But we always had something. When you listen, we always had something. I've told stories. Some of you have heard stories. I've talked about the Mennonites leaving 100 ears of corn on the back porch. And me being so young and dumb, I was mad because we had to ear that corn and had to scrape that corn and blanch it and freeze it and us being upset about that, not realizing we didn't have anything else to eat. Dropping off bushels of peas, and again, I hated shelling peas because it's just, I remember, I've told the story here, but I'll just tell it again anyway. And I remember me and my sisters trying to go over the 50 cents so we could take a bushel of peas up to the pea shell, because that's what he charged to shell peas. We so hated shelling peas, and we couldn't find 50 cents to go up there to save it. And we were begging my mom, "Mom, please, can we just get the peas shelled?" My mom said, "I don't have the money." We lugged that bushel of peas, probably two bushels of peas, home, and sat in the back of the house and shelled those peas till our fingers were green. And to this day, God have mercy, but to this day, I don't like peas. Why? We struggled. We didn't have. But yet we always ate. We always had food on the table. We always had something to put in our mouths. You know why? Because we live in a land of plenty. I remember going with my dad out in the woods and finding polk. If you don't know what polk is, then you probably weren't too hungry or didn't live in Pennsylvania. We'd go find polk before it buried out. We'd eat them polk leaves. And to this day, dear goodness and mercy, they're horrible, but we ate them. We'd go out and find wild turnips. As soon as the berries came on, we picked elderberries, blackberries, blueberries, raspberries, any berry we could find, wild grapes. We made wild grape juice. You know why? We were hungry. Some of you have ever eaten wild grapes, you know where I'm at. But do you realize that was God's provision?
That's right. Yeah.
We looked at it as hardship. We looked at it as this awful thing, a 95-degree day in the middle of a tick-laden, snake-infested berry patch as a boy. You know why? Because I was ungrateful and unthankful. Today I see the provision of God.
That's right.
I remember a knock on the door and somebody had left us a quarter of a hog on our back porch. Mm-hmm. Processed, cut. Mm. I remember my mom weeping. I remember knocks on the door after my dad left, knocks at the door, and somebody dropping off toys for us for Christmas. Baseballs and doll babies and a ball bat. God's provision. I said, we're in a land where people don't go without. We'd work that homeless ministry in Baltimore, and the homeless people would come up to our van and ask what kind of soup we had. And if they didn't like it, they'd turn up their nose and walk away. That's how hungry they were.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't tell this story. Some of you aren't going to like me. I remember a man one day, he came up, and I'd seen him walk by earlier, and he had some clean clothes and a lunch pail, and he comes back, and he's got dirty jeans and holes in his shoes, and he comes up real humble. He says, "Can I get a pair of sneakers?" I said, "Yeah, what you want, man? You like New Balance?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "You like green shoes?" "Yeah, that'd be all right, yeah." I said, "Now listen," and I just made, now bear with me, you have to know me. I said, "You want some N17s? Are they good?" "Oh yeah, they're the best." "Yeah, you got some?" I said, "No man, this is a food wagon." I told you, you'd get mad at me. They cursed me. Freeloader. We'd have mothers bring children up there. Those children, you can see it on their face, they hadn't had a bite to eat in days. You give them a little bowl of rice soup. You watch those children scarf that thing down. She's going to look at their mama, and their mama's shaking her head no. And I tell those ladies in the van, I say, "Go ahead." And they say, "Oh, I know. I'm going to heap up jars like this full of rice soup and give those children." You know why? They were hungry.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But you know what? God provided.
Amen.
God provided. We labored for years in that homeless ministry and watched God provide for the homeless ministry to provide to others. I used to get out of the Benton Dent store, some of you know where I'm talking about. I'd go in there and lay down $10, $15, walk out of there with bags full of stuff, go down to the homeless ministry. We'd hand out candy bars like they were free. I'm not talking about cheap junk. I'm talking about high-dollar candy bars. We'll go down there and just load them up with that. I'd give all them diabetics on the street milk chocolate, dark chocolate, coconut cream. I didn't care what it was. It's a land of plenty. It's a land of provision. It's a land that God has given us iron in the rocks. God has given us coal in those mountains. God has given us brass in those hills. There is nothing you can't find this nation. There's nothing you can't, with a little bit of labor, a little bit of ingenuity, you can't go out and make a living. You can't go out and find a job. With a little bit of effort, you can't go find something to do in this nation. Find somebody that's willing to hire you. You know why? That's a blessing of God. Let me just say this. I'm not going to toot my horn at all about this, but it doesn't bother me either. It doesn't humble me. It's just the reality of it. When I surrendered full time, I walked away from my job. I knew that God wanted me to travel the road to preach to people like you. I took out by faith. Finally, after about 2 years, every dime I had ran out. That's no exaggeration. I'm not crying, I'm not poor mouthing. Every dime I had ran out. I worked for a pest control man. I've sealed driveways. I've restained decks. I've painted houses. I've painted decks. We did mowing business from the Gearhearts were out of town. Me and my wife did mulching. We've run an eBay business. By everything we could possibly do to stay afloat over the years. We've done it. But you know what God has done? God has sustained us, and God has provided for us, and God has met our every needs, and God has taken care of our needs. And I don't ever want to lose sight of what God has done for us. And some people are so selfish and so greedy and so ungrateful. But this is what the Lord said. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. Thank you, sir, for the good land which he giveth thee. Pastor, do I have perfect liberty? Good, it's Trevor's birthday. Let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Trevor. Happy birthday to you. Amen.
Well, let me get to sing on Sunday now.
You still sing on Sunday. That'd be all right. You can sing twice still. We can sing again if you wanted to. Well, some people getting antsy, getting kind of irritated. I thought happy birthday might cheer you up. Nobody's been mad saying happy birthday. Sitting in revival service, your pastor's heard me talk about this. Some of you heard me talk about this. We're sitting in revival service in Maryland on a Tuesday night. And I mean, people shout and rejoice and testify. But the Fane Jordan got up in the pulpit and said, Brother Herbert, I just can't preach. I can't do it. I can't preach. Brother Herbert said, well, Brother Fane, you just pray. You pray. He said, well, Brother Herbert, I feel like God's just silenced me. And he looked at Brother Herbert and he said, why don't we all just go to Dairy Queen? Brother Herbert got up and said, all right, we'll take an offering. Let's try to raise some money. We raised $94. We all got in the cars and went down to Dairy Queen. You think I'm making that up? I ain't making that up one bit. That bothers people. Next night, old Destiny. Destiny, Brother Dwight's daughter, little black girl about this tall, until she got saved. Amen. You doing okay?
Yeah.
Well, faith, I have no lip. I've seen some weird stuff. Yeah. Singing happy birthday in the middle of a service. Boy, that's just nothing. I saw a man preach two messages one time. He stopped his message. He said, I feel like the Lord wants me to preach something else. He preached something else. He got done. He said, I need to finish my first message. He finished the first message. At least I haven't gone that long yet. I heard a guy preach against butter one time, or excuse me, against margarine one time. True story. He preached against margarine and went through all the scientific aspects of how awful margarine. I heard a guy preach a whole message against pork one time and how awful pork is. It is a Frank Townsend. Brother Frank, if you're listening, he's at your church. Brother Frank stands up when he gets done. He says, now listen, anybody wants to get on the Waffle House, we're going down to Waffle House, we're going to have eggs and sausage and bacon and ham. You have to know Frank Townsend. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. God's been good to us. God's taken care of us. Beware that thou forget not, in verse 11, the Lord thy God. Would that apply to us? Beware that forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And I want you to notice this. Lest thou when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein. And when thy herds and thine flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up.
Yeah.
And thou forget the Lord thy God, which bringeth thee forth out of Egypt. God forbid that we think it's us. God forbid I did this in my hand. God forbid that everything I have is because of me. My hard work, my labor, my smarts, my ingenuity, my abilities. Or God forbid my godliness. Supposing that godliness is gain. God forbid. Why do we forget God? Because we think it's us. What if you didn't have hands? Look how tough you are then. What if you don't have legs? Talk tough. What if you don't have a mind? Listen, I've been in the rest home and I've seen them in their 20s. In the nursing home in their 20s. Been in wheelchairs, hospital beds, invalid. I've seen men use a little box and type. And the boss speaks and then you speak to them, they type again, the box speaks to you again. They didn't have the money that the scientists today have, and so they'd use the old style and they're communicating to this box. And I've gone to the rest home and invited them to the service. And so, would you like to come to my home and preach and down the hall? And they started typing curse words. I've seen them bound up in wheelchairs with muscular dystrophy ruining their body from the inside. And I've come in and say, sir, we'd love to have you in the church service. And they just fervently shaking their head and grumbling and grunting. And the next time they'd see me, they'd do everything they could to hide, to turn the wheelchair and shake their head. No, I don't want anything. I don't want anything to do with this. Forget it, it's God. It's God that controls those things. When they had their hands, they didn't glorify God. When they had their feet, they didn't glorify God. When they had their strength, they didn't glorify God. Down in a hospital bed, and they can't glorify him either. I visited those that have lamented their life, but it's too late to lament. I visit them on their deathbeds, weeping because of how they destroyed their family. But 40 years prior to that, they should have been weeping. They didn't. I visited the elderly weeping over their children. But when they could, they didn't. Go to church service, people say, pray for my children. But 30 years ago, when they were young and healthy and vibrant, they didn't concern themselves with God.
Yeah.
Now, with frailty and brokenness, they've considered God, but they've damned their children. Verse 12, and thou hast eaten, art full. And the pastor spoke of this, has built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Do you know what a goodly house is? It would be any house that you and I would be able to live in, would be considered a goodly house. If you have windows and a floor and a roof, it may leak. It may have some mold, some mildew, some rot. But it's a goodly house. When your silver's grown, your gold is grown. Don't forget God. Don't forget who gave you the power to get wealth. Don't forget who it was that enabled you to do those things, lest he take it from you. Some of us men were speaking earlier today in this manner of lifting weights. And I challenged one young man about that and just said, listen, strength is grand, but it's just things in lifting weights will destroy your body that you'll pay for later on. And it becomes just vanity. And I've seen those men. I've seen when they still try to hold on to those things, the has-been stories. I used to. I know you all did not know this. Did you know when I was 15 in June, I threw a no-hitter in baseball? Did you all know that? Please, thank me later. Please. What an impact that had on people's lives. I'll tell you how many people remember that. One. But as a young man, you know how foolish that was? Wow, what a life-changing event. But I look back. Did I ever tell you all when Dave and I won the NWL Tag Team Championship? Did I ever tell you that? I always tell Brother Zach about it. I say, hey, champ, let me tell you a story. Did you ever tell the time I ran for a touchdown? Oh, it's flag football, but still, you know. Those things so mean so much to people. But then they forget who gave them the strength of their legs. Who gave them the speed of their feet. Who gave them a mind to think. Hands to touch. The strength of their body. Who gave it to them? And they lose sight of that. And they become unthankful. I've seen mighty men that were broken. Now you listen, we talk about Brother Sammy Allen around here with respect. Sure. Some people try to badmouth him to me different times. It doesn't bode well for them. I've learned this, people that aren't a friend of his usually aren't a friend of mine. If they didn't like him, they're not going to like me. Not a respecter of persons. They usually, their attitude just absolutely stinks. I've seen Brother Sammy in my lifetime, in the last 13 years, I've seen him do 20 push-ups on a dare. The young lady said, Brother Allen, can you still do push-ups? He said, hold my jacket, son. Count them out now. One, two. I've seen it. He's with the Lord now. Last time I saw him, they wheeled him into the service. I said they wheeled him into the service. I don't believe we ever saw him get on the platform. He couldn't climb the steps. We're all heading there. Bad news for you.
Yeah. That's right.
The used to's. Liliana's playing on the playground just the other day, and I thought, you know what? I can still do a pull-up. When I get to New York and tell those Asquith boys, I can still do pull-ups, little wimps. And I did. Got 2 inverse pull-ups done. And I wasn't proud at all. It hurt so bad, I couldn't be proud. If there's any strength in my body, it's because God gave it to me.
That's right.
If there's any strength in these hands, it's because God has given it to me. If there's a thought can go through this feeble mind, it's because God enabled my mind to think. And don't you ever lose sight of that. Don't you ever forget who gave it to you. He said, oh Israel, when this is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord. What was Lucifer's downfall? His heart was lifted up. I will be like the Most High God. What is that on earth in man's ways? What is that in man's ways? I'll set my own course. I'll choose my own destiny. You know, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it? There's just one problem. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, thy victory. I'll set my own course. Thou fool. Thou fool. The Lord said, I set your way. I established your way in the wilderness. They were following him. They were following that pillar. They were following that cloud. It was God that established their way. When he moved, they moved. And they despised him for it. They murmured against him for it. God said, camp. They camped. And they despised him for it. Manna fell from heaven 6 days a week, and they despised him for it. Their raiment wasn't wearing. They had all that came out of Egypt. They brought out of Egypt with them. They had the flocks and the herds of Egypt, the gold and the silver of Egypt. They borrowed all that from their Egyptian neighbors. And they're in the wilderness, entering into a land where they wouldn't have to build houses. They wouldn't have to plant orchards and trees and vineyards. And it was all prepared for them. All they had to do was move in and take possession. There's honey in the rock. There's milk in the cows. There's bread in the oven. There's iron in the rocks, my friend. There's brass in the hills. There's wheat and there's barley. God has provided everything for them. But they didn't want to go that way. They said, our way is so much better. Could we go back to Egypt? And they tempted the Lord. But you see, they didn't know there was something else that was going to alter the course of their life. Death. I'll set my path. I'll set my ways. I'll gain it by the strength of my right arm. I'll use the strength of my hand, and I'll obtain all of my goals in life. And death, in one fell swoop, stops their life. But you see, we see monuments. And we see plaques, and we read articles of great, and I do mean great, men. And I think especially as a young man, you see those things and think, you know, could I accomplish that? Could I do that? No, you probably couldn't. But you can obey God. And you can let God establish your path. Because then when you do die, you'll know that you've died in the will of God. And there's no greater joy. I've done this. I've obtained this. I've accomplished this. People say, when I retire, and I've heard, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I say this with all kindness and all respect. But I've heard them say that, and before they even got to retirement, they're sitting in the chemo ward, the CCU, the ICU, or at the funeral director's office. I'm going to die. That's a guarantee. But it's not that self of tomorrow. Go ahead. I'm going to accomplish great things if I don't die. But I know it's not what a day may bring forth. But people got it all figured out. Yeah, God's laid this before them. All God wants them to do is follow him and not forget him. One of the sickening things, and it is sickening to me. I really honor two holidays greatly. I'm being serious. Well, three. Golden Corral has a free buffet on Veterans Day, so I'll take advantage of it. Thanksgiving and Independence Day. I will never want to lose sight of Thanksgiving. I will never want to lose sight of the bounty that God has blessed me with. And knowing it's His hand, not my own. That van we have, 258,000, I think, on the way up here. Doesn't make me nervous. It's a Toyota. Doesn't make me nervous. If it blew up tomorrow, I thank the Lord for it. But you see, it's more than those physical things. As the Lord's directed our path, He's led us beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And I'm thankful. In verse 14, forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness. He said it was great and terrible, but He led them. He set their path. He ordered their steps. And He speaks to that wilderness and He says, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought forth rock out of the, or water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee and that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. He said, listen, you're going to go through this. You're going to struggle. It's going to be hard. I'm going to lead you. And at the latter end, it's going to be good. But they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish. Because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Romans chapter 1. And simply verse 21. Because that when they knew God, when did they know God? When they came out of Egypt, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. What is He saying? When they knew Him as God, they acknowledged Him not as God, and neither were thankful. Why are we in the mess we're in today? People aren't thankful. I'm not going to weigh on the political side of it. I'm not going to listen to some jerk making $20 million a year talk about white privilege when I couldn't find 50 cents in shell peas. I'm going to listen to some guy that has $1 million a day endorsement to play soccer talking about the poor, impoverished people of the continent of Africa when we'd have rice and brown gravy for dinner. Because there was nothing else to eat. I'm not going to hear it. But what I am going to do is I'm going to give God the glory. And I'm going to thank the Lord for it. And I'm going to thank the Lord for lean times. I thank the Lord for times of want. Pastor already said a whole lot about it. And by the way, This is on my heart long before Brother John ever spake tonight. It was established about 2:15 this afternoon that this is where we were going tonight, long before the pastor stood in this pulpit. But they forgot to be thankful. So their foolish heart was darkened. I've done this. I've built this. I've made this. I've earned this. You know what's even worse? I deserve this. Can I be cliche? No, you deserve to be in hell with your back broke.
That's right.
We deserve to be suffering in the lake of fire. We deserve to be in a place of fiery torment. The worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That's what we deserve. But God's given us bread. God's given us life. God's given us plenty. So what's he doing with it? He's proven us. He's proven us. You know, the old question is asked, what would you do if you had $1 million? And we all lie. We all lie about it. Well, I think I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do, and people always say this, I'd tithe first. No, you'd probably go eat a big fat steak first. Just to be honest about it. If you can't chew steak, you might have some mashed potatoes. But you know why we don't have $1 million? Because God knows our heart. You know why some of you don't have $10? God's proven you. You know why I've been at the gas pump going to the sheet store cashing nickels out to put gas in the car to go to church? God was proving me. Hey, big boy, when you had $50,000 in the bank, what did you do with it? Now you're putting nickels in your gas tank. What are you going to do with it? Hey, big boy, I've given you far above and beyond the means that you needed to live. What did you do with it? Not always boast. Well, I gave this and I gave this and I gave this. See what the Lord did? He let me invest it in ministry. Me. I had to spend it to live. I had to spend it to survive. I had to spend it to pay the bills. I had to spend it to eat. I'm sitting in Minnesota, some 1,000 miles from home, eating day-old salmon from Target. I remember. 2 months behind on the mortgage, I'm flat broke. I mean flat broke. Brother John speaks of that time when the Lord came to him. I was sitting in Minnesota. The Lord said, you want the mortgage paid? I said, well, I'd kind of like to. He took me back to all those times. I wasn't even thankful. You know what dawned on me? I hadn't even prayed for my 2-day-old salmon from Target. I was so unthankful. I was sitting out there sucking my thumb, lamenting that God had left me in Minnesota broke. And I hadn't even thanked him. Family came to me, I think it was last year, just going through a rough time. They're here, so I want to be careful. Just kind of pitiful, rough time. One of those ones where they walk away and just shake your head and go, oh, they'll learn. I said, they'll learn. Feeling sorry for themselves. So why don't you all just start telling something you're thankful for?
Amen.
It's okay. I'm talking about you, big boy. Tell me something you're thankful for. Years ago, wife and I were sitting around sucking our thumb, feeling sorry for ourselves. I said, tell me 5 things you're thankful for. You go first, I'll go next. We got about 4. We just began to weep. If I said, give me 100 things you're thankful for, it would take me long to come up with 100. If I said 1,000, it might take me an hour. But there's people in this room probably not thankful for anything they have, because you think it's all yours. Think you did it. I'm not in ministry because of me. I'm in ministry because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the minute I think it's me, I need to be out of ministry. Brother John, Brother Hayne puffed me up a little bit. I had to go up here and sit and just said, dear God, you know. Those men are blind as bats. They don't know anything. I'm just a wretch. And I said, dear God, get that pride out of me. And he did. He took me back to Minnesota, sitting there sucking my thumb, feeling sorry for myself because I'm broke. What a man of God. What an evangelist. It's so awful. It's so terrible. Oh, it's awful. I can't believe I'm going through this. I'm glad you all weren't there. Something you're thankful for? Something you want to praise him for? Somebody ought to thank him for something.